And welcome to the Grand Slam. This is your boy Sam Singh, aka Slam Cena, out here on the mic. And I'm out here in my garage, out here in beautiful Tucson, Arizona. Just a nice little morning podcast, early morning podcast, you know, for the boys. Gotta fully send it. But before I get into this, I would like to thank a couple of the people that I like to partner with and to kind of shout out on this podcast and my Instagram page. First one is, everyone should go check out collector_3349. And what he does these things called baseball box breaks. And he will, you can actually get a team. And if he pulls a card from that team, he will send it to you in the mail. And, you know, it's a great service. I actually really enjoyed doing one of them in the past couple weeks. And he's very reliable. He's very good. He's out of Massachusetts, actually. So I don't know if you guys out there on the East Coast, but other than that, go check him out. He's got a great page, a lot of cards, a lot of boxes that he could send to you. So go give him a view. And the second one that I would like to shout out is Alien Pros. They are a grip company for any type of sporting equipment. And that includes baseball bats, golf equipment, tennis rackets, anything. They're great. I went out actually for my birthday today, and we went out to the batting cages to a couple of my friends out there, and they got to actually try the bat out. Unfortunately, it broke, so we're going to have to order a new one, and that'll be interesting. But thankfully, I still have that other bat grip that I could put on there. I got a 2-pack. But everyone go check them out. Alien Pros, they're a great baseball bat grip company. They are very dynamic, a lot of different types of products. So definitely go give them a look. They're on Instagram at Alien Pros. Lastly, I would like to cover kind of a more local shout out, and that is Headliners Barbershop, and they are on First Ave and Grant Ave. They're a great barbershop out in here in Tucson. Great people. They're just guys that actually care about your haircut, and they actually want to give you what you want, and they're not going to give you anything worse. Plus, along the way, you know, they're going to take an hour. They're going to give you a nice long conversation that you can actually connect with them on and have something to actually look forward to on. So it's definitely a good time. So, in the other sense of why we are here, I would like to introduce a couple of people. The first person we have here is my friend Joel. And Joel is a good friend of one of my friends, Andrew Tinley, who will be, I believe, approaching here pretty soon. But Joel is his roommate, and I met him this year. And I just wanted to have, you know, some people on my podcast that I normally don't really get to have a chance to come on. And I thought it'd be a good idea to have Joel on. So, Joel, why don't you say hello?
Hey, everybody. You know,
how's it going?
Sam, happy birthday. What can I say?
Thank you, sir.
It's good to be on the podcast.
I appreciate it. Great to have you on. And as well as that, I have my good old friend, Destiny Danicola, here, who I've known for about 2 years now. She's one of my really good friends. And well, now we have another person in on the podcast, so I will be introducing very soon. But going back to Destiny, I met her about 2 years ago, and she's been one of my closest friends ever since, and is now actually dating the man who just came into the room, out into the garage. So that's been good. It's been very fun getting to know them. And the last person who is actually now just finally in the room is my boy Andrew Tinley, who we pretty much just call Tinley around in these cuts, you know, out here in the Dirty Tea.
Dirty Tea.
But it's been good. How you guys doing?
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam. Grand Slam. I've known Sam pretty much since I've entered this grand journey that's called college. We both entered into this atmosphere with the same aspiration of being a new person in this new culture and hoping to end this journey, you know, in 4 years. And that's the expectation by, you know, the culture that's built around us and as well as our parents and shit like that. And Shit, are we allowed to curse on here?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, you know, and it's, you know, and the culture that's built around us, and you know, as Sam and I and several of us on this long journey have gotten the chance to experience it, it's not as cut and dry as you originally expected it to be. It is such a blossoming tree that, you know, I have to do X, Y, and Z to graduate.
Yep.
And yet I've learned that, you know, me and myself, I can talk, you know, for days about having the decision to take a semester off and take the path untaken and branch out and explore as an adult when I didn't quite frankly think I was an adult and quite frankly thought I was a kid still and have to experience life. Out in college, you know, the first semester out, not being in education in part of school, it's very different. But, you know, now that I'm back into it, I've had the opportunity to see how beautiful different paths that every person can take. They can all converge upon the same goal.
Absolutely.
And that's the best part about it.
You know what I think is, like, crazy is, like, you know, you're not even really from Tucson. Like, you're like a T-Loke, but you're not, like,
to be part of
you've been here for, you know, what, 6 to 8 years? Yep. Something like that. Yep. But you're originally from Washington, correct?
Yes, sir.
And for me...
Evergreen,
Washington, baby. Love to see it. But for me, you know, like, I'm from out of state, and I came to this school from out of state. And I think it brings a completely different perspective to the people that have been here in Tucson for a majority of their lives compared to the people that come in from out of state, because that is just like, it's such a different transition from what your normal life is compared to like what you actually have to come into now. And me knowing people from Tucson, me meeting people from out of state, you know, I've seen different scenarios of people that, you know, they come in and they think that they know everything and they think that they have everything figured out. And, you know, you come to this school and you have these expectations. You think it's going to be all the I'm schmacked. You don't think it's going to be any school. You know, you have everything from high school that gets built up about this place. And, you know, you get here and your story is just so different than everything else that you've been exposed to on media. And like now, like 4 years later, like looking back when I was a senior in high school and like I was like, I wanted to come to this school because of blah, 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 you know, and now it's just like it's such a different perspective because I've actually spent time here. I've actually been able to be a local here. I spent my first summer here in Tucson.
That was amazing, bro.
3 or 4 months.
That was amazing.
Here. Like that was a true test of what I spent a semester in Madrid and I felt like even a summer in Tucson was as challenging as that. So I mean, it's crazy now, like when you come to these kind of days and these milestones, like, you know, yesterday was my birthday. And now, you know, we're going to start moving into, you know, St. Patrick's Day. We're going to get into Easter. Grad's going to come. And then like all these little days are going to start approaching. And we're kind of in the mentality of we're just waiting until it prepares us.
Yep.
You know? And that's what's kind of tough about it is, like, you don't have much room to really do any preparing for beforehand.
Yep. I mean...
It sucks.
When I you know, I was blessed to go to a really, really... a college prep high school that really excelled and promoted the fact that they promoted and ensured that every kid that graduated from our high school was prepped and ready to graduate high school at any level. Whether it was an Ivy League, whether it was a Harvard,
yep.
You know, whether it was an in-state,
anything,
whether it was from across the country. And when you enter into college and you enter into this big journey and, you know, you have those things that you feel like you were added to, you know, as you said, 4 years later, we have this expectation where we can stand back and look back and be like, whoa, what's
going on?
What was I actually prepared for?
Yeah.
Can I really answer those questions the same way as I could have as a freshman?
Right.
And the next thing, how are those same questions? How can I answer the same questions now 4 years later?
I think honestly, the biggest part of our life is just learning from mistakes, and that's how we all grow.
Absolutely.
And nobody really knows about college, and it's not really taught growing up.
Right.
How to do taxes.
Everyone's in like what's really, crazy is like
taxes, how to do finances, how to really
I don't know how to do taxes.
Save for anything. I don't know if anyone really knows how
and
to do
taxes. I had a conversation today about taxes and the fact that apparently as a student, which I'm about to graduate, so this is not great for me now, but apparently as a student, you get money back from the government if you file your taxes not as a dependent every single year.
Oh, like, wow.
Who told me this? Now I get to find out when I'm graduating.
Where's that public education on those little lessons?
Yeah. I don't even know how to do my taxes.
Should we rely on the government or should we rely on ourselves
college.
For that to be taught?
You never know.
We have the resources. We just have to, you know, branch out.
I just wish
it was more open and maybe open source. But, man, all I can say is that never lose hope in your failures and that you can only learn from your mistakes. And
absolutely.
That's the whole part about growing. And,
it's really know, the only
the
part
whole
about growing.
Experience about life is just
if you
learning
can't,
how to move on from
if
your
If you can't learn from your mistakes, then there's no point of trying to learn because like you have to be able to adapt to be able to be successful because adaptation is the only way that we can successfully go forward in our progress because we have to be able to know that we can change even if we're wrong. We have to be able to know that we can actually change ourselves to adapt into what needs to be. But you know, it goes beyond so much far belief that you can't even, you know, think about it. It's nuts.
That's what made us so successful as a species is our adaptability
100%.
As humans.
Yep.
We were the most adaptable species, which is why we learned exactly. We had the ability to learn and grow and adapt to our environment.
And there was no other species to compete. It was like, you know, there's no other aliens out there in the beginning of time that we're going to perform against humans. No.
All the ones
it came
that
down
could
to
compete
our ability to
are
make
stuck
tools.
In the ocean.
Exactly.
So
there was really
they're already out of the running.
The physical ability to compete really wasn't there.
Yep.
I mean,
even if the mental ability was there, like it all depended on your physical ability.
Absolutely. In the end, it comes down to that, which is like, I mean, that's nuts. Thinking about our society, thinking about our advancement at this point, like we've been what on this planet for
millions.
How many years? Millions of years.
Barely like, any compared to the Earth.
Like
actual life.
Actual.
We've been here for a blink.
Earth's existence has been millions, but we've only been here for.
Well, Earth's existence has been billions. We've been here
insane.
For about a million.
Yeah.
1 million of all
that
those billions.
That in itself is insane to conceptualize.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
so
the fact that you can even figure anything out based off that statement is just unreal.
My
it's weird.
It's strange probability.
It's so weird.
It's a strange probability that we can add to the percentage of the people, you know, all of us here. We got four people in this room, you know, that are conversing. And my question here is that what does these four people out of the percentage of 7 billion, you know, what is our impact? What do we have here? It's actually going to impact concretely on our future. And that's a very hard question to ask. And
talking about legacy.
And to be able to answer, it's a very open-ended question because I feel like it's a question that we don't know the answer to.
Yep.
Therefore, it's an open-ended question. And, you know, in terms of the only species that we know of that can conceptualize the future, that conceptualize our own existence, it's a very hard question to,
absolutely.
You know, answer. And
absolutely.
As the only ones that we know of, you know,
they
obviously, you know, I truly believe,
I mean,
I'm not trying to branch into the alien conversation, but I truly believe that things are out there.
Oh, man.
But currently,
orcas have more developed brains than we do. They're probably more self-aware than we are. They have they have our brain, and then they have an entire section of their brain.
Huge.
Could you imagine
but they
having
are,
that?
They are too,
that's
like,
a different, that's,
physically
you're talking
limited,
about
unfortunately.
Intellect
but even
versus
on this
size
Earth,
of brain.
We have intelligence that as far as we know, might be in some ways more advanced than ours.
I mean, I think one example to look at is there's some funny videos about baboons dragging dogs away and actually being able to tame them. And it's freaking crazy. They actually do the same thing that kind of domesticate them, and they actually are able to feed them, and they use them so that they barked whenever predators are nearby or whenever there's some kind of stir, and they're able to alert the baboons. And this is insane that they're able to domesticate dogs in almost the same way that we are, but they're also very cruel with these poor pups. But
people don't realize the level of self-awareness.
It's really interesting.
But, yeah. I think like, people don't realize the level of self-awareness that
to
monkeys
me,
have.
How can you measure, you know, this is something
it's
that,
just a weird
that
thing about
definitely could be provable, definitely could has research in this area. But
baboons
to me,
also have smaller sized brains than the average shrimp. And
true.
Then chimps have probably like, what, the third size? I mean, I don't know.
True. I mean, it's not all about the size of your brain. It's about how much your brain can do.
How can we measure
the level of consciousness? I don't know.
How can we measure the level of consciousness? That's what exactly what I was going to say.
We can't.
It's very hard. And somehow, again, this is beyond my stuff that I've researched in my own lifespan of 22 years, is that how can we really measure the mental aptitude, the extent that other species can go to besides our own? I'm a true believer in the fact that there could easily, you know, by the fact of evolution, be things that are smarter than us. There has to be things that are smarter than us. But into the only things that we can truly conceptualize and we can truly see as fact, how can we see that other things can measure up to us? It's very hard. And the thing we can see, orcas, you know, chimpanzees, apes, whether or not you believe evolution or not, we have to be able to study other species and see how other species are evolving, you know, in different pathways that we did, and are finding different keys to life and different keys to this universe that we may not have yet.
I mean, you can make the 20 basic ribosomes that are essential for life in general based off of just four chemicals.
Base and molecules.
Four. You can do it with, shoot, I kind of forget the
carbon
name of the test. I mean,
hydrogen,
carbon,
oxygen, argon.
I don't know about argon.
It's up there.
But I mean, you can devolve life into simple components, and for me, that means this is like simple modules that just have to fit together. And then once you have that perfect mixture, then you have the perfect, you know, setting for life. And based on how much we know about the universe, I mean, I figure that there's probably tons of potential for life.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a matter of time for whether or not that has the multitude to breed into something that is like humanity, or at least has self-awareness and consciousness. And
also, humans have just like not like really gotten to the point where they've gotten serious about finding, you know, what's
true
or not.
Have you ever wondered if maybe humanity is maybe just the first species?
Absolutely.
The first species.
Just, and
that's
such
it.
Such a
the
hard question
level.
To ask. So
and
are we the first?
We're just waiting for another species to get on our level.
See?
Because we just go so hard.
Is it the weight game? Is it the weight game of waiting for another species to evolve to the intellectual level that we are? Or are we waiting for us to reach that barrier where we enter into that atmosphere of where other species are have already been there? They have already evolved into space. They've already figured out dark matter. They've already figured out the other aspects of the universe. It's a very, very complex question to be able to think about. Are we the first, or are we just the planet that happened to be in the last place? You know, we haven't gotten there yet. And it's really interesting. And I truly believe that, like, you know, I think we're front runners. We have the ability to get there, but I truly am humble in the fact that if some other species entered in here, sat down next to me, and was able to enter into the fourth dimension in a way,
maybe just talk to them
in a way that in a way that would blow
my
in the way that talking about chemistry or talking about calculus into a higher. No, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about calculus in a higher level that I've ever understood. No, calculus in a level that no human has ever understood. Or biology in a way that no human has ever understood.
Probably going to quantum mechanics. We don't really have a very good grasp on that.
You think that's how they would speak to us? And be able to communicate with us?
Through quantum mechanics?
Yeah, probably. Because,
like,
that's a science. And you know, in speaking of facts, I love speaking of facts, of actual things that we can necessarily prove, and things that maybe something that is a higher power could prove to us and serves as a guide for us. As we are the, you know, we can definitively prove that we are the most intellectual beings on this earth that we live on, that maybe something else. You know, we always look down on the anthill. You know, we grab the house hose and pour it down the anthill and say, you know, I'm the ruler of this fucking domain. Yet, I'm not so sure
we could be
that
ants.
Someone could step upon us and be like, no, wait. You're the ants of this universe. You are the people that really don't know anything. And it's so vast. It is so vast.
Yeah.
In what we could learn. And it's amazing. It truly is amazing to what we don't know. And it's amazing to what we have achieved, though. You know?
Absolutely.
We can only speak to what we have achieved. And we can speak to the years that we've been here and the technological advancements that we've been able to achieve in the few years that we've actually been intelligent, you know?
I think we've been just mostly lucky we haven't gone through a massive extinction event. Like,
yep. And then, you know, we can talk every day about extincting other species. And we currently kill
extinction.
You know, things that are necessary below
massive
us.
Massive killings, but we've been able to survive.
And you can speak to, is this natural selection? Is this nature saying, you know, well, you're intelligent, so you are naturally going to kill off all the others.
New species come and old species go.
But wait, maybe we are just a lower ladder of that food chain that someone's waiting to extinct us.
As a scientist, I can definitely say that you can probably ask any scientist in the entire world that the more that you learn, the more you realize that we don't know anything.
Yeah.
The more you learn, the more you realize we don't know anything. And I've talked to
it's a paradox. The more you learn, the less you know.
Tons of researchers. And just even in every single, you know, individual field, every single person in that field will tell you that everything that I learn just makes me feel like I know nothing. Even when you won't know more than
the smartest people in every field will say that.
Say that they know nothing.
Absolutely agree. Elon Musk
thinks that he knows nothing. Because he knows how much he doesn't know.
He knows so much that he knows nothing. Comparatively, he's one of these smart. You can talk to
More you know, the more you realize how far we have left to go. And we've been gone maybe 0.001% of the knowledge with everything.
You know, like the human knows like we've only discovered about 9% of our brain.
Yes, that. Ten.
Do you know how crazy
maybe
that is?
We don't know what the rest of it does.
We don't even know a tenth of our brain.
We don't know what it
and
does.
Like that, like we or I'm sorry, we only know about a tenth of our brain, and like we don't even know 90% of it. Mm-hmm. That's
of our potential.
Like, that's like we don't even know what we can become as a species.
We don't know anything.
That's insane.
We don't know.
That's freaking crazy.
And that's just looking at ourselves.
That's just reflecting ourselves.
If you look at all the other things on this earth that aren't ourselves, we know a fraction of that.
It's a selfish science is selfish, I believe, because science
focuses
some
on
parts
yourself.
Of,
no,
it
focuses
on the betterment
of our species.
And I agree in certain aspects in the fact that obviously the betterment of our species is to what I'm going to promote, you know, at the end of the day. But when you can step back and see, you know, what is the betterment or what is the potential, maybe not necessarily the betterment, what is the potential of any species, not our own. And again, we can only really gauge our own because we can only do tests and we can do tests on rats and maybe apply that to humans. We can do tests on ants and do that. apply that to us. We can do tests on birds.
Worms.
And worms.
Anything.
And apply that to ourselves, but yet...
It's not the same.
It's not the same, man. And
we're not. We have very similar, we have evolutionarily conserved processes that we can compare, but that, you know, you never know what's going to happen until you start actually testing on humans, which absolutely. Is the rub.
Absolutely.
Because you're not really allowed to test on humans. It's for a good reason.
Kind of unethical at this point.
For a good
reason. Do you think, in my opinion, the best way for a species to survive is to adapt and evolve to its environment. Now, we've pretty much created our own.
You can prove that, right?
And we've made it comfortable to ourselves to where we can pretty much travel in very comfortable, like, temperatures ways. And mm-hmm. in our methods. Cars. And
we can survive things that no animal are designed to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No mammal.
We can be able to withstand through, you know, building our own environment. So
it's crazy.
Now, what I have to question is, with this topic brought up, is you know, resilience to nature is like, would we be better as a species as if we were faced head on with nature, as if we let kind of this philosophy of
let it hit us,
let those that are weak and sick kind of take their passing, if we actually, those that are strong take forward, and
if we actually lived by the rules of natural selection.
Of natural, yeah.
If we lived by the rules of natural selection,
the world
and like,
would be
if,
very different.
In just, honor like, of evolution and natural selection, will we be better by that? I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like if we lived,
would we be better? Probably, but would we be moral?
I feel like it would be hard
morality,
to be moral.
I don't know.
It would hard, kind of it would be very hard dependent. To be moral, but like I feel like if on you're like, in the point, if you're like in that point of time, then like you've got to just live, you know.
I mean,
like,
but if we get into this, then you know that's sort of the Thanos argument. I'm being serious. This is a serious argument, you know, like the fact that the world is overpopulated, we're using up our resources, we're destroying the environment. If half of us disappeared for the other half, it would 110% prolong survival.
The problem I have with the Thanos thing is you would be taking that in the real world.
That's
and
not something you
and,
can do.
In
morally.
The natural world, who would be dying? It would be those who are starving in poverty and
not necessarily.
I think so.
Not necessarily.
Because those are the weakest, and I mean you're thinking those who are able to take
if we
life
lived
by
if we lived in a natural selection is, world, you know? It would be very much more of an animal kingdom.
So the question is
kind of situation.
The question
poor
is,
would not just sit down and die because the law
okay.
said so.
Well,
if
the
it's
question,
natural selection.
It almost seems
you know,
like we're
the
in
question
like,
is they have, do something have about it. Humans as a species evolved past natural selections because of our intellect.
We've destroyed natural
because
selection.
I mean
because
right
of our
now,
intellect because
yes.
of our
right now we're
yes.
all very comfortable.
We
live in one of the best times
selection.
Ever.
Yes.
We live
destroyed
in one of the most comfortable
it.
Times
but
ever.
But my question is that a necessarily good thing for the advancement of our society, or is it degenerative?
No, it's definitely degenerative.
Okay, how? Because we've understood the fact that we've seen pathways that could potentially lead to great things.
Before industrialization.
But at the cost of what?
Yeah. Before.
At the cost of our own species.
Right. I mean, before industrialization, it was a completely different world.
Absolutely.
Pre-industrialization, natural selection very much still
owned
right.
the earth.
The
owned
smartest.
The earth.
Survived, and the people that weren't the smartest did not, you know? And then industrialization, the smartest people started to take advantage of everybody else, essentially.
Yeah,
and just like basically turned everybody else into what they wanted. And we're to the point where, you know, we work and we're in this society, you know, this society can't revert back to natural selection at the point that we are.
We're
right
too
now.
Smart.
But if we had never gone down that path in the first place, everything would be different.
Very different.
The people who are in poverty might not be in poverty.
So in that case, how can we get better now? Maybe it's through our own science, and maybe it's through
something
machine,
that's something
biotics.
I might ask that we can leave it as an open question.
Absolutely.
We can leave it open in terms of what do we actually know and what do we know? Don't know.
And when this can absolutely be a future podcast episode that we will have in the future. So with this, I would like to thank everyone for listening to the Grand Slam. And I thank you for all the listens and the plays. Have a good day. Pleasure.